Now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist, Susan Frank.
Hello, welcome to the show. Have you ever been bitten by a dog? My only experience was recently when I was visiting a pet supply store and needed to pass by, once again, a large dog who I had given a treat to earlier in the show. I mean, in the hour. This dog was eagerly focusing on my hands and barking, I assumed, to inquire if I had any more treats. I did not, and so I held up my hands to indicate that they were empty. Next thing I knew, I was nipped on my left hand. It did hurt a bit, but the skin was not broken. In thinking about the incident, I knew it could have been worse, and I wondered if I should have done something differently. Did I miss some cue from the dog? The facts are that millions of people are bitten each year in the United States alone by all kinds of dogs. And they most often happen when we are engaged in everyday activities with them. And now, this may surprise you, a majority of the bites that come from dogs are ones that we already know. What can we do then as dog owners or simply dog lovers to prevent dog bites from happening to us or others? Can we prevent them? Today, you'll find out the answers. My first guest is a past president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Bonnie Beaver, who chaired a task force on dog bite prevention, and she will give us the facts about this issue and offer very practical advice on how we ourselves can be a solution to this problem. Parents and children, you'll especially want to listen to the second segment of today's show to hear the story of a young girl who was severely bitten and how her recovery led to a program that will help your children stay safe from dog bites. Welcome, Dr. Beaver. I am thrilled to have you on the show today.
Hi, Susan. I'm looking forward to hearing all kinds of good information.
From you and others.
Well, probably from others.
Dr. Beaver is a professor in the College of Veterinary Medicine at Texas A&M University and the executive director of the American College of Animal Behavior. We will be looking at some photos during the show today, so if you'd like to see them while you're listening, make sure you have the Talk Zone player window open. It shows me here in the studio, and the photos will flash in the window as we talk. So, Dr. Beaver, how is it that the AVMA became involved with this issue and created a task force for dog bite prevention?
Well, obviously, dogs are an important part of family life in the United States. And we know that the issue relative to bites is a big one for the insurance industry.
Mm.
Ultimately, if bites are not controlled, we may not even be able to afford to have a dog. And so it's going to be important for dog owners to have a real concern that their dog not be one of the few that actually create this problem.
What are some of the facts, Dr. Beaver, about dog bites that you have found that people are really very unaware of?
There are several things. One is they assume that there are certain breeds that are the ones that are always biting. That's not necessarily true. They assume that there are not many bites and it won't happen to me. That's not true. They assume that they know what a dog will be doing, just like you made the comment in your introduction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often not true as well. We also assume that in most cases, the bites are going to be not very serious, and they come from dogs that we don't know or are strays. And that isn't true. We also look at the types of dogs and how they're kept, and the thought is that they are only strays, they have no good owners, and we know that a vast majority of dogs, as you mentioned, are ones that are familiar to the people, often their own.
Mm-hmm. You have a brochure that the AVMA created. It's called Dog Bite Prevention, and I have a copy of the cover there. And this offers some very wonderful tips and suggestions, and we're going to be talking about some of these today. Anyone who's looking at this, also on my website, wildaboutpets.net, accompanying the pictures, there's very many links, and there's a way that you can actually see the content and order this brochure. And also, there's a wonderful video video that your organization, AVMA, has created about dog bites, and I also have a link to that. But you mentioned, Dr. Beaver, about the breeds, and let's talk a little bit about that. I have also a picture. We're looking at an American Staffordshire Terrier. It's picture number 4. And, you know, the perception out there, I think, is very much that the dogs that bite the most are the ones that we more commonly, you know, are known as pit bulls, which is just another name for the American Staffordshire Terrier. And this is not true, is it?
Correct. It is not true. In reality, pit bull is not a breed of dog, and it isn't just what we commonly call the Amstaff. Mm-hmm. The Amstaff is a purebred breed. Most pit bulls are really defined by a physical appearance of a dog that weighs roughly 65 pounds in that range, plus or minus 5 pounds, has a large, very muscular head, muscular-built dog. And if you actually look at breeds, there are about 13 different breeds that fit that physical characteristic. The problem is rarely in a purebred dog. It's mainly in dogs that are crossbred. We would call them mutts, but because they have that physical appearance, we call them pit bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a crossbred dog of any physical description can act in a whole bunch of different ways. But we also have to remember that genetics plays a role in how an animal behaves. But so does the environment. And dogs that are not raised to have good social skills, irregardless of their breed, can become dogs that will bite.
And in the brochure, it talks about that it's so important to socialize and train our dogs. So I'm wondering then, Dr. Beaver, as owners and dog lovers, are we in some regards promoting aggression or a biting behavior without really knowing what we're doing or that that's the result?
Absolutely. In some cases, we promote it. In other cases, it happens because we fail to do what we should as a dog owner.
Okay, so let's break that down. How possibly are we promoting that?
Well, there's a certain segment of our population that want a macho dog that will attack things, but they don't really know how to train the dog, and so they inadvertently train it to play real rough, they've prevented it from interacting with people, or they encourage other people to play really rough with it. And that may be cute for a puppy, but as that dog gets older, it does not have respect for other people. And they may actually encourage it to bite by sicking them on people and rewarding the aggressive behaviors. And so that element of society then, by encouraging and rewarding the undesirable behaviors, actually create dogs that can be problems. Mm-hmm. In addition, many times we'll have dogs that, I have a colleague that talks about a dog's thinking brain and their emotional brain. And it's kind of like people. There are some people that they will quickly fly into a rage or be angry. And, you know, it's a very fine point, and all of a sudden they flip and they're very angry, and then they're over it. Well, some dogs are that way, and it doesn't have to be any one breed, but they can suddenly go from, oh, I can obey and I'm listening to you, to I'm doing exactly what I think I need to be doing and I'm not listening anymore.
Mm-hmm. Of course, cat owners are very familiar with cats can turn on a dime. It's I love you, I love you, I love you, you know, snarl, don't touch me, I want to bite and scratch you.
Well, so, I'm not going to pick on cat owners because I like cats and they don't always do that either.
No, I love cats too. It's just, I think we're used to cats being a little bit more temperamental that way, but obviously what you're saying is dogs can do that.
Absolutely.
We have a photograph, it's number 6. That shows, now this is, you know, innocent enough. There's a child dangling a, like, tug toy or rope toy in his mouth, encouraging the dog. What do you think of this behavior?
Well, not good for a couple of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they're face to face. But the second big thing from the dog's perspective is eye contact. What people don't realize is a dog that makes eye contact with another dog is threatening it. It's checking out how it responds, how the other one responds. The stare to a dog is an extremely dominant trait. And so children, because they are at head level and because they look at faces, are often interpreted by the dog as being stared, as staring at the dog. When the child doesn't mean that, but the dog interprets it that way. And the, if you've got one of these dogs that is not going to back down, then they often, either out of fear or out of dominance positions, will take after that child.
Okay, now it's a little confusing because I've seen so many people with their dogs, you know, the human and dog companions, gazing directly into each other's eyes lovingly. What's the difference?
It's not lovingly from the dog's perspective.
Okay.
That's where we anthropomorphism, the big fancy $25 word that says we think dogs think exactly like we do, isn't true. They have their dog things. And if you watch those dogs, many times they are licking their lips, or they may be yawning a little bit. They may be kind of looking down, looking away. So they're diverting their eye contact. Those are all signs that say, I'm a little uncomfortable with how close this thing is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. Our phone lines are open. It's June 3rd. If you'd like to call and ask Dr. Bonnie Beaver a question about preventing dog bites, call 1-888-463-6748. Again, that's 888-463-6748. Or you can email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net. I am talking to Dr. Bonnie Beaver, a veterinarian who chaired the American Veterinary Medical Association's Task Force on Dog Bite Prevention. Well, so moving on to photograph number 7. Dr. Beaver, who are the people who are getting bitten?
The largest group are children, especially those under the age of 9 years of age. We know that by the time of 18, approximately half of all children, a little over 45%, have been bitten by a dog. The majority of those will be bitten while they're very young, for a number of reasons. The second largest group are the elderly. In both cases, that's often related to how they move and how they interact with the dog.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, let's start with the elderly, because that's a little bit easier to understand. Is many times with the elderly, they may accidentally step on the dog, trip over it, because they're less mobile, or they may fall down. Their actions are not exactly the same as a person, let's say, in middle age. And so the dog doesn't necessarily see them, or they may be using a walker or a cane, and so from the dog's vision, which is much poorer than ours, they don't exactly look the same. If we look at young children, particularly children under about 7 years of age, their form, their outline, think of a shadow. What would a shadow look like to a dog?
Mm-hmm.
Their head is bigger in proportion to their body size. If they're in diapers, they've got this big rear end, and they kind of waddle when they walk, as opposed to striding. In addition, when we get into kids that are like 3, 4, 5, 6, they tend to move abruptly. They don't slowly move their hand forward and say, would you like to smell this? They just reach for the dog. And often they reach for ears or feet or hair. Little ones will pull themselves up. And so they may inadvertently hurt the dog, stare at the dog, or scare the dog. And so those kinds of movements predispose. If you also think particularly little boys, because boys are bitten more often than girls, they tend to be very loud. They tend to be running into very active kinds of behaviors. And that can get one of these dogs that switches from thinking to emotional brain quickly. They get real excited. And all of a sudden, they're in their emotional brain.
So what are some of your tips? And I know there's quite a few of them that, again, is mentioned in the brochure. But, Dr. Beaver, all those things then sound kind of daunting because all the things that you mentioned that we might do are fairly natural things. What is a dog owner to do then to help prevent their dog from turning into one that winds up biting either the elderly or a child?
There are several things for them to do. First of all, it is important when they are getting the puppy or the dog, to start seeing how it interacts with other people in very controlled, happy times. The dog should learn that anybody that comes up is wonderful. They're going to feed me a treat. They're going to talk happy talk to me. And so the dog learns that, people, I like people coming. This is a good thing. And even having small children in the house, small children like to drop food on the floor. Dogs like to follow little breadcrumb trails really well. But that's okay. Under supervision, the dog learns, gee, that's a pretty nice thing to do. When you look at that picture number 7 with that baby and the dog, when I'm looking at that, two things. Number one is baby and dog are too close.
Right.
Baby is staring at dog. Dog, if you look at its body language, is shifting its weight away from the baby. It's saying, I'm not comfortable here. This baby is staring at me. One thing that new parents often do is they have to prop the baby up next to the dog and take a picture.
Oh, yes.
Google that, baby and dog, and you will see a lot of them. And always, the dog is looking kind of like, could you please get me out of this situation? I'm not comfortable here. But owners don't see that. All they say, isn't this cute? Look at my baby and my dog. Instead of reading the dog's body language, owners then need to be able to read their dog's body language. Don't assume that because a child is there that the dog won't bite. Always make the assumption it's possible. I've got to protect my dog, because who loses? Not only does the child or adult get hurt, but so does the dog, because they're often the ones that are put down.
Right. And of course, there's that piece that obviously we're focusing on the effects and consequences when a person gets bitten. But we must not forget that what happens to dogs from biting is often they lose their lives. And so we're trying to protect humans and canines here.
That's right. That's right. The dog owner can do a lot by working with their dog in basic obedience training. Not just, I took them to a class, and always take them to the class and be the one doing the training. Don't just send them to a trainer, because it's most important the dog knows how to work for the owner. The dog will work fine for the trainer, but it doesn't mean that the owner knows how to give the commands.
Exactly.
And so you don't just go through obedience once, you keep working on it again and again so that the dog learns, if I give a command, I better be obeyed now, right now.
I'm talking to Dr. Bonnie Beaver, a veterinarian, about dog bite prevention. Our phone lines are open. It's Friday, June 3rd. You can call 888-463-6748 or email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net to ask Dr. Beaver a question about how to prevent dog bites. What can a family or individual do, specifically Dr. Beaver, to avoid being bitten? Are there some guidelines?
Yes. Number one, children and dogs should never, ever be together unsupervised. That would stop a lot of problems. people often make the assumption, well, my dog won't bite. Or they have been together before and there nothing happened, my dog won't bite. What often happens from the dog's perspective when there is no adult present, the child pulls its hair, grabs its foot, decides it's going to check the dog's mouth, look down the ear, whatever it is. Children do strange things, and it can be frightening to the dog. And then dogs that are afraid can bite. So, number one, they should not be together unsupervised. Number two is a lot of people worry about dogs that steal things. They take things out of the garbage. I've dropped a chicken leg and my dog's got it. Items that are highly prized by a dog will be guarded. And so a chicken leg, as bad as chicken bones are for that dog, that is going to be a high value item that will be guarded aggressively. So you prevent dropping food and chicken legs and bad things for that dog. You've got to be careful. And if they get them, then you either have to know how to safely be able to take them away because you've worked with your dog in that situation, such as teaching it drop it on command. Or the item, let's say we've got a dog that guards a tennis ball or steals a shoe and is going to guard that. How important is it that you get that shoe away?
Not very, if the matter is being bitten.
Many times it really isn't. Or, right. You know, gee, they've got a piece of aluminum foil out of the garbage. Yeah, you know what? It probably had some food odors on it, too. And how is it going to kill this dog? Could it really do serious damage? How important? Many times they steal a Kleenex out of the wastebasket. Big deal. It may be shredded all over the bathroom floor, but you know what? It isn't going to kill the dog.
You know, I can't tell you how many times when I had my beagle, Barney, that I was running after him, chasing him to try and get the things out of his mouth that he had grabbed. And, of course, we were clueless, my family, about training, so he didn't know leave it or drop it. And, oh, yeah, I put myself probably in risk as well as my family members, but we didn't know any better. Sure. So that's a great tip.
And for some dogs, it becomes a game. In fact, my sister-in-law had a Cocker Spaniel that, at night after she got home from work, it would go into her closet and bring her a shoe. But it wouldn't give up that shoe unless she gave it a piece of lettuce. The dog didn't figure out he could hold out for something better than lettuce, but he was happy with lettuce. So then she'd get her shoe back and take it back to where it belonged. It's like, shut the closet door and the dog won't be doing that, you know?
Yes, yes. Well, Dr. Beaver, what should I do if my dog bites someone or if I'm bitten? And I know where this is kind of two answers. So I guess you can pick whichever, you know, if mine bites someone, and we're looking at number nine, you know, this angry dog that winds up biting somebody. What's the most important thing that people should know of what to do?
Well, first of all, get the dog off the person. Make sure, look at the extent of the injury. A dog bite is supposed to be reported to appropriate city or county authorities. If it's my dog and it bites me, how bad is it? Do I need medical help or not? We know that people that are bitten by stray dogs are the most likely to seek medical help, even for minor injuries. And that's legitimate.
Sure.
And certainly if it's my dog, you know, oh, it's a little puncture wound, it's bleeding a little bit, but it's going to be okay. I'm probably less apt to seek medical care for that. And so it's going to be important that the person seek appropriate medical care for a dog bite, irregardless of whether it is within the family or outside the family. And then the animal must be kept away from people looking at the situation where it happened. Do not assume that because they bit once that they will not bite again. And seek professional help. Talk to your veterinarian. And it may even be, and people often forget that aggression isn't just a dog bite. It can be a growl or a snap. And someone that has a dog that snaps at it might say, well, I was just fast enough, the dog missed. It's like, well, actually, no. If the dog had really intended to land a bite, it would have. And so anytime, if the dog starts growling in certain situations or even snaps in certain situations, that is a potentially seriously aggressive dog, and you need to get professional help to make sure that it doesn't happen again or escalate.
And everything that you're saying, there's so much more information on the AVMA website, on the dog bite prevention page, which I have a link to. And there's so much more we can learn about reading the dog, as you've mentioned, Dr. Beaver. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that in our second segment. My guest today has been Dr. Bonnie Beaver, veterinarian, former president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. You can find the link to the AVMA website page about dog bite prevention, and it offers many resources on the topic. You'll find that link on the TalkZone.com episode page for today, and also on my website, wildaboutpets.net, under the page of photos for today's show. Dr. Beaver, thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're so welcome. It was a real pleasure.
Coming up, the story of how one little girl's dog bite now helps all of our children stay safe. We'll be right back.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain?
Hello. Hey, Kathy?
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, no. Dr. Beaver?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so thank you again so much. As I said, you'll be getting that link later. I thought that was great.
Nice job. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.